Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
The sports bar this afternoon brought to you by World Gym Rochester and World Gym Greece, with memberships as low as $1 down and $10 a month. Best location, best price. World Gym Rochester and World Gym Greece. Let's track some of these roster moves by the Buffalo Bills and recap week four of the NFL's preseason. It wrapped up with the Bills' victory against Minnesota last night at New Era Field. Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, good with his time and joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Ryan, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Ryan, last night, sure, it was a lot of fun, the comeback and everything else, but just seeing who was out there last night, and Danger and I were talking about Eddie Yarbrough being out there, and Eddie Yarbrough making some plays, and do all signs point to Eddie Yarbrough, his time wrapping up here in Buffalo?
Yeah, I think so. He was on the outside looking in, going into that game. I think Buffalo feels that they have their top four defensive ends pretty well set in stone between Jerry Hughes, Trent Murphy, Shaq Lawson, and Daryl Johnson. So when you have those top four, unless you're freeing up a spot somewhere else where all of a sudden you have an extra roster spot, I just don't see that scenario panning out, though. So I think that Yarbrough will end up being off this roster, but one heck of an effort last night in that win. I mean, he was all over the field, especially in the first half.
Ryan, we saw Duke Williams last night. We did not see Zay Jones last night. I'm curious as to your thoughts on what the Buffalo Bills might do at the wide receiver position. Could they keep six, maybe even seven wide receivers? Who's in and who's out, in your opinion?
Yeah, I could see them keeping up to seven wide receivers. So, obviously, you know, the top guys are John Brown, Cole Beasley, Zay Jones. I still think Robert Foster's in that top four. And then you have Andre Roberts. So there's five right there. If I were to guess today, I'd say Isaiah McKenzie's number six, and then Duke Williams would be number seven. Ray McLeod had a really nice spring, summer. He really showed a lot of improvements from year one to year two. And last night he did have a very nice preseason finale. But you didn't see the consistency out there on the field from him all preseason like you saw from Isaiah McKenzie when he was on the field. And McKenzie brings a little bit more than Duke Williams as well to the party in terms of special teams play, things like that. That's one area where Williams, his odds could end up getting, that might lessen his odds of making the roster. Because if he does make the roster, and let's say he's wide receiver number seven, he's going to be inactive most weeks unless injuries occur, and then he could get pushed up the depth chart. He has something, though, that none of the other wide receivers have in terms of that size, in terms of the ability to go up and get the ball. So, you know, he has a skill set that's different than most of those wide receivers that they already list. So he does have a shot.
What did you make of all the online drama concerning Zay Jones's parents, his mother tweeting out something very cryptic? He wasn't, you know, on the field last night. So, but you say in your 53, you think he makes a team here.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, it can't be easy having children that are pro athletes, especially in the social media age, because you see all the fans that are out there that criticize him for drops. I personally saw a lot of Bills fans throughout the preseason saying, you know, cut Zay Jones, keep this player, things of that nature. And I guess over time that can build up, but I don't think that Zay Jones' parents really handled that well. You know, his father criticized the fan base. He said something about the fans being really tough on Cole Beasley for his fumble in the third preseason game, where I saw nothing of the sort online. And then he later apologized. And shortly after he apologizes, when Zay Jones's mother posted that cryptic, you know, one man's garbage is another man's treasure, whatever it was there, yeah, with Sammy Watkins and Marquise Goodwin. So it was definitely cryptic, definitely odd, but I just think it's a case of parents maybe not handling the criticism that their son is receiving online in the best manner.
Ryan, we're going to get into some of these cuts that we know are already happening. I want to go back to yesterday, the Bills trading Wyatt Teller to the Cleveland Browns. It seems like you have one of two ways of acquiring extra draft picks. You can work that compensatory draft pick formula the way we see New England kind of do year in and year out, or you can do what Brandon Bean has been doing, which is, hey, these are guys that are probably not going to make the team, so let's get something, anything, while we still have them.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I mean, offensive line, especially, teams are desperate for offensive line help. I think Wyatt Teller's a quality young player. I think that he had his moments as a rookie. I think he looked pretty good at times during the preseason this year as well. But he lacked that versatility, and that's something that Brendan Bean and Sean McDermott really covet in terms of their offensive linemen. They did try him at right tackle during the preseason. He played a few snaps at right guard. But for the most part, he's been a left guard early on in his career, and that's pretty much where he's been comfortable playing. So if you can get a call from a team like the Browns and they say, we'll give you a fifth and a sixth round pick, and all we want is Teller and a seventh round pick in 2021, you know, I think that's good value for a guy that I think Teller may have been able to hang on to that roster spot, be one of those one or two final players to make it. But then after waivers, everything else, is going to be some good talent out there. He could have been cut shortly thereafter. So, you know, smart move by Brandon Bean, finding a team that wanted that offensive line help and then getting good value on its return.
Ryan, this is the question. I'm sure you're getting this online too. Is a six-round pick really worth helping the divisional rival you're trying to take down?
I think it is when if you've watched Russell Bodine over his entire career. I remember when he was acquired or when he was signed, I should say, from in free agency from the Bengals. And I talked to Joe Goodberry. He's a beat reporter there for the Bengals. And he said, you know, every year he's gotten a little bit better on the field, but his ceiling is the ceiling. He's not going to get any better than this. And we kind of saw that, you know, he had some moments last year because he was called into action, had to start quite a few games. But overall, he was a below average center in the NFL, in my opinion. I know that the Patriots have one of the greatest, if not the greatest, offensive line coach in football history, NFL history. But, you know, I don't see them necessarily turning him into some kind of all-pro. I just think that a six-round pick for Buffalo, you know, that can be pretty valuable. Just looking at this year's draft class, some of these late-round picks that they've hit on, these are seventh-round picks with Darrell Johnson and Tommy Sweeney. Sixth round pick was Jaquan Johnson. So those are three guys that I think all make this 53-man roster, not just because they were draft picks this year, but because they were one of the top 53 players on this roster this summer, throughout training camp, throughout the preseason. So I think it's worth it just because Bean and all of Buffalo's scouts, they really do their due diligence on these players that are going to be out there on the third day of the draft, and they've really hit on a few of them here in their first few seasons here in Buffalo.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Ryan, after watching Tyree Jackson for a full four quarters last night, do the Buffalo Bills put him on the practice squad, or do you think there's an opportunity there to potentially upgrade? If something happens to Josh Allen, you're going to have to thrust that QB3 into you know the role of clipboard holder, but you're one injury away from Tyree Jackson being your starting quarterback. After what we saw this preseason, that seems like a scary proposition.
Yeah, it would be a very risky move. And last night, Brendan Bean was in the booth and he said, you know, when teams keep two quarterbacks on the 53-man roster, which those are going to do, you generally want to have a third guy on the practice squad waiting in the wings, like you said, just in the event that there's an injury, that they can come up for a few weeks and be that backup quarterback. And I just haven't seen enough from Tyree Jackson to believe that at this point in his career, he could kind of man that role or even that you'd want to see him in that role as the number two guy going into a game. Because if your backup goes down and he's thrust into action, you're very limited in terms of what you can do. He made some nice plays with his feet last night. He made a few nice plays with his arm, but he still has some dangerous passes mixed in there, staring down some players. I love the skill set. I love the big arm, the athleticism, all of that. But I just don't see necessarily it being the right move for Buffalo. I think there could be some potential upgrades out there, even for the practice squad that you could end up signing and bringing along, developing in the event that there is an injury.
Ryan, 4 o'clock, the deadline tomorrow. You're doing a great job of just kind of accumulating what we know so far. So when we get to 4 o'clock tomorrow, they're not done, right? I mean, what are the chances that Brandon Bean will go further and look around? You know, what would be some areas of this roster right now? I could think tight end off the top of my head. If there's some other area, what would you say would be an area where Brandon Bean could go look around and fortify the final 53?
I think you could even say offensive line. I like Ryan Bates. I like his versatility quite a bit. But I could see them going out and looking for what kind of options are out there for the bottom of your offensive line in terms of what will be out there after these cuts. I definitely think punter will be at the top of the list. I just do not see Corey Bohorquez being on this roster. He has the big leg, but he struggles so much with consistency. And there's already a few options out there. There's going to be at least one pretty decent option from Cleveland that'll hit the market tomorrow. Ryan Allen's still out there as well. He was released by the Patriots here a little while back. So that's one thing. You know, I think Buffalo likes their cornerbacks, but I wouldn't be shocked either if they went out and they looked around at a cornerback for the end of their roster too.
Ryan, what about the practice squad? If you could project who you think, you know, we might know that will end up on the practice squad. We already know Christian Wade gets that exemption being the international player.
Yeah, I think that they like Nick Easley, the young slot receiver from Iowa. He was let go today. And some people have said, well, if they're let go today, doesn't that mean their odds of making the practice squad aren't great? And I disagree with that. I think, if anything, they're just trying to work their way off the roster, and they don't want to save all the decisions for tomorrow. They realize that they're pretty well set right now in terms of their 1 through 5 at wide receiver, so they're kind of letting him go. So I could see that. Becker impressed me at tight end a little bit this summer. I'm not sure they would keep him because they're already pretty deep there. Any time that you can keep some of these linebackers, I could see a Tyrell Dodson being on the practice squad. I think he had a really nice game last night. And they have a lot of options there, too. Maybe if it's a surprise cut, I think Vashawn Joseph ends up making this 53-man roster. But I could also see Maurice Alexander taking one of those last linebacker spots. So maybe if there's a surprise cut in terms of the draft picks from this year, maybe it's Joseph, and I think he'd be someone they'd try to sneak onto the practice squad. Even their kicker, the backup kicker, I think that there's going to be a lot of teams that could claim him, or that they might even swing a trade for Chase McLaughlin. But even after signing Stephen Hauschka to that extension, I think the Bills were really impressed with McLaughlin this summer, what he brings to the table, and they wouldn't mind having him to develop as well.
Ryan, if we could have some fun here, I'm going to fire some names here. Some of them you've already hit on, so I'll edit this down as we go along. Players you think are on the final 53 based on what you have seen so far. Jason Kroom, yes or no?
No.
Lafayette Pitts.
I give the deep sigh there because I keep going back and forth between Pitts and Captain Munnerlyn. I'm going to say no.
Okay, then my next one will be Munnerlyn.
Munnerlyn, yes, initially, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's replaced.
Tenoris Perry.
No.
TJ Yeldon.
Yes, and that one surprises me a bit. I thought for sure he was going to play last night. I thought you'd at least see him maybe in the first quarter, and then he wasn't even dressed for the game. I know that he played very well in the second and third preseason game. The first game, he fumbled his second carry. But since then, he looked pretty good out of the backfield. He looked really good as a receiving option. And maybe the Bills are thinking long-term. You have him under contract not only this year but next year to a very team-friendly contract. Frank Gore won't be here next year most likely. LeSean McCoy won't be here next year most likely. So it wouldn't hurt to have an option like a TJ Yeldon on the roster this year, knowing that he can be on the roster in 2020 along with Devin Singletary and at least give you kind of a little bit of a 1-2 punch. At this point in time, knowing that you might have to still go out and get another guy, you might have Christian Wade who's ready to go in 2020. But yeah, right now I'm going to say TJ Yeldon's in.
And give me a percent here, Ryan, on this one, because I think we all think LeSean McCoy will be on the 53-man, but when we frame it like this, you let him go, it would be $6 million in savings, which you could roll over to next year. What percentage, whether trade, cut, whatever it may be, is LeSean McCoy not on this roster come opening day?
I'm going to go low. I'm going to say 10%. I really do think that Brandon Bean has every intention of having him on the roster opening day. Now, talk about the trade deadline later on in the year. That's a time where I could see them trying to move him in the right scenario, if there's an injury with a contender at that point in time. But I think week one, he is on this opening day roster.
Ryan, we've got your 53-man roster tracker at NewYorkUpstate.com being refreshed constantly. What else you got working on here at the site here leading up to week one next weekend against the Jets?
Yeah, well, we published something as well today on how many picks the Bills have in the 2020 draft. Knowing Brandon Bean, I wouldn't be surprised if he swings a few more deals here. So that'll stay updated, too. We'll have a practice squad tracker probably tomorrow, at least built and up on the site, ready to go, knowing that Sunday there's going to be a lot of action there. Leading up to the week, Matt Parrino and I are going to have something every single day, previewing the Jets, previewing the game, players to watch, things to look for. And then obviously we'll have all the regular information that fans are looking for leading up to that week one contest.
Ryan, fun time of year, Labor Day weekend, and we're certainly going to be keeping tabs. Keep up the great work. Appreciate your time today.
Hey, thank you.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, one of our regulars here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia to keep us updated on the Buffalo Bills. Cut down to 53 men in the 53-man roster, which needs to be finalized by tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Where do you come down in that Pitts versus Marlin?
I think it's Marlin. Yeah. I think it's Marlin. Yeah. I think, again, you know, there's a veteran guy, a leader in the locker room that knows Sean McDermott, that McDermott has a comfort with. And if he sees if McDermott views him as an upgrade, you know, it won't take him long to be able to come in and acclimate. And he's veteran leadership in depth at this point. You don't need him, but you have him. It's better to have and not need than need and not have.
Yeah, if you could find a way to keep them both, because I think Pitts is certainly good enough to keep around, and that's a position that you certainly are going to need to be deep on, and injuries quite frequently in the secondary. Appreciate the time of Ryan Talbot today. Again, 4 o'clock tomorrow. Some of the names that we do know, and again, Ryan has kind of compiled this on his website, per Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic: Abraham Wallace, Denzel Rice, LT Walton, Roderick Young. These are players that shouldn't surprise you. Also being told today, Keith Tolbridge, Nick Easley, who we had on during training camp here in the Sports Bar.
Good kid.
Yeah. I think Easley will end up on the practice squad, because I would say if you're going to cast Cole Beasley in this role, well, then Nick Easley is the understudy. But Nick Easley is somebody who only played 2 years at Iowa, okay, coming from JUCO. So he is the definition of somebody you want around on the practice squad, learning the steps here that he would need to become an effective slot receiver in the NFL. I'd love to see Nick Easley on the practice squad. Joe Biscaglia also reporting that Darryl Johnson has been told that his roster spot is safe. So the Bills, then, you would figure that's their defensive line. If they keep Darryl Johnson winning the job for the fourth defensive end position, and a part of that is by, well, the injury to Mike Love, who was placed on IR. Part of it is that Johnson outperformed Eddie Yarbrough. Eddie Yarbrough is going to be one of those tough cuts. Eddie Yarbrough didn't finish good last year. He was always going to have an uphill battle. Seeing Yarbrough around making plays in the second half, that was good for him to get some tape out there. But Eddie Yarbrough, in my opinion, will not be on the 53-man when it's announced tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
We get to the day's top NFL stories in bite-sized form next. We call it NFL Appetizers in the Sports Bar. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Yeah, in addition to the Bills news, we will get to news out of New England, news out of Miami, and news regarding the labor negotiations. Those stories and more coming up in NFL apps.
First, let's talk about Mad Hatter's Hideaway, Gino.
I talked to Nick. He was down on the field last night.
Oh, did he storm the field with that courageous 8-second comeback? Tyree Jackson, was he off the tearing the goalpost down at the end of the preseason? Undefeated preseason.
No, see, and Nick is a proud sponsor of the show. Keep this in mind if you want to sponsor the show, because sometimes we'll give you things like to go on the field. And then he was on the field last night. Jordan Poyer comes over. He was in street clothes. I mean, you're not going to get that during a regular season game, of course. But Nick from Mad Hatters, one of the proud sponsors of the Sports Bar. And by the way, it is a holiday weekend. 3 days. Enjoy it. Tomorrow is going to be beautiful. So a little grilling, a little college football, and a nice cigar from Mad Hatter's Hideaway. Mad Hatter's Hideaway is the place to go to. 300 varieties of cigars for you to choose from, plus a wide variety of CBD products. This is the place I'm sure Gronk would be into. Mad Hatter's Hideaway, Culver Road and Rondacoit. When you stop in, tell me you heard about it here in the Sports Bar.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.